The Rambam says, as follows. He wants to say something about Tkiya Shofar. Right? Hilchas Tshuva, Perek Gimel, Halacha Dalet. Even though he's talking about Tshuva, he's going to say something about Shofar. And he's going to connect the Shofar to Tshuva. Afalpi, Shetkiya Shofar, Rosh Hashanah, Gzeres HaKosu. Even though Tkiya Shofar and Rosh Hashanah is a Gzeres HaKosu, meaning it's a mitzvah. The word Gzeira is perhaps translatable as an edict. An edict means that you don't always know the reason. It's not something, it doesn't present itself with an obvious reason. Sometimes everything in the Torah is a gzeira, but some things make more sense, or seem to make sense, even though we may not understand them ultimately, but they lend themselves to some sort of understanding. The Rambam says that Tkiya Shofar, the Rosh Hashanah, Gzeiras HaKosu, I guess he means that really you can ponder Tkiyas HaShofar, but you're not going to understand it. It's not comprehensible. It doesn't lend itself within whatever system of understanding we live. It doesn't lend itself to understand. That's what the Rambam says. And that's a subordinate clause. Ava Bishat Keshav Rajat Gzeiras HaKosu, right, subordinate clause, main clause, remez yeshba. Nevertheless, there's a remez. Now, the word remez is a word that has different kinds of meaning to different kinds of parshanim. But I had to take a stab at what the word remez means. I would say it means a reasonable interpretation, but I can't say that it's pshat. I can't say that this is really pshat. So a remez means it's connected to some other idea which we know about. It's not obviously connected to that other idea. In other words, if somebody blows a shofar, it doesn't mean anything. But since the period of time in which we have the mitzvah of tkiya shofar is somehow connected to tshuva, right, it's connected to the period of tshuva, we spoke about where we started Slichas, even though Tshuva is most, in terms of time, is connected to Yom HaKippurim, Tshuva, and Kapora. Nevertheless, Remez Yeshbo, Tkiya Shofar is something that tells us something, and the Remez is Uru. In other words, the Remez of Shofar is that the closest thing that I can see, the way what I associate a Shofar with, is an alarm clock. Or an unpleasant noise. If somebody would walk around and blow a shofar into your head or into your ear, so you might not be pleased. So the shofar is like a wake up call, but not in a metaphorics way. It's not like, you're suddenly reminded that you did an aveira. But it's like bashing you over the head with a hammer. That's what a shofar is. Uru Yishenim Mishinatska. Wake up, you sleepy heads, from your sleep. V'nirdomim hokitsu mitardemaschem. And those who are slumbering or snoozing away, wake up from that slumber. Now these words belong to the Rambam, as far as I know. It was very often the Rambam rewrites earlier sources in his Hebrew, in his language, but you can usually discern exactly where the Rambam gets his material from. This, all of this, doesn't seem to come from any place that we know about. And what the Rambam is trying to tell us is, Chipsu b'maaseichem v'chizru b'tshuva. Look into your deeds and do tshuva. So we say again, the Rambam says, I'm talking about tshuva. This is Hilchos Tshuva. Now I want to tell you something, that on Rosh Hashanah, you have to blow shofar. I don't know why God wants us to blow shofar. But I know, I feel, I think, it seems to me that when we blow shofar, well, we have a natural reaction to that shofar. Like we're annoyed or we're startled from, you know, in whatever kind of peace and quiet we were living in. And the shofar startles us. So startling is like a reminder. It's a wake-up. If you'd ask me, the Rambam says, if you ask me, what is it that the Torah is reminding us of or waking us up about? He says it's tshuva. Wake us about tshuva. The zichru borachem. Zichru borachem. Two words, right? The first word is zichru. What does the word zichru mean? It means to remember, right? Now, remember is a word that is not accidentally connected to Rosh Hashanah, but it's like a big word for Rosh Hashanah. Zichru barachem. What should you remember? You should remember God. In other words, tshuva, doing tshuva. If you only had this line of the Rambam in the world, you didn't know anything else about tshuva. It looks like tshuva equals remembering God. Zichru bora'achem. Which itself is an interesting statement to make. It's an interesting statement to make. Then the Rambam goes on and says, Eilu ha-shochachim es ha-emes b'havli hazman, right, those who forget the truth, the emes. Now, what is emes? Emes is obviously synonymous with bora'achem. With bora'achem. Bora'achem is Hashem, the Creator. Emes is either a statement about God or a statement about the Torah, which, you know, is identified with God. So what happens? So what's now a third synonym for tshuva? Right? Tshuva equals zichru bora'achem equals zichru es ha-emes. Remember the emes. What does forgetting mean? Shochachim es emes b'havli hazman. Havli hazman means popular culture. That's what havli hazman is. So if you're like thinking about, if you're thinking about cars, or you're thinking about what to do on vacation, you think about what people think about, right? Think about, you know, buying clothing, or, you know, the things that we're encouraged to think about. Because there's an industry of encouragers, right? They're called public relations, or Madison Avenue, or they encourage us. And they think that we can't do anything alone, or that left alone, we would be kind of stuck on some island by ourselves, unable to do anything. So we can't dress ourselves, and we can't cut our hair ourselves, and we can't like look right ourselves. We can't, you know, can't do anything ourselves. We have to look to people to tell us what the proper style for the eyeglass frames is this year. If somebody tells us, it's not the like you ever go to an optometrist? I'm just reminded of this, right? So they take out, they have a million frames, right? A billion of them. So he says, well, what do you want? Like, what do you like? I mean, I've done this many times. I've had glasses since I was 7 years old. So I've been to the, I said, what I like? I like them all. I mean, take this one. I said, oh, thank God somebody told me which one I should take. I mean, what would I do? I could stay there for a year and try to figure out what I like better. What I like better. That reminds me of the story of the Belzer Rebbe as an aside. You know that story? The Belzer Rebbe once went to the eye doctor. I won't tell you who he went to because that would be unfair competition. So Belzer Rebbe had these glasses, you know, these plastic glasses. They were black on the top and white on the bottom, you know, a certain kind of style they used to wear many years ago. So the optometrist or the doctor suggested, of course, you know, it was a private audience. The Rebbe swept in after the store was closed. He was there by himself with his entourage, and then on the other team, there were the eyeglass team. So one person, the eyeglass team, said to him, well, maybe you want to change your frames. So he said, to what? Like, what are you? So they showed him this, they showed him that. Then he thought for a minute, he said, I can't do it to the Hasidim. Now, what did he mean? If you ever see a picture of all the bells of Hasidim together, you see they all had the same eyeglass. So if he changed, they would all have to change, right? Then it would be like a large out-of-pocket expense. He said, I can't do it. He wanted to change, but he couldn't. I'm just trying to define what Havlei Hazman is. Havlei Hazman is not something that's very far away from us. Not something that is, those people are like that. That you have to really be very, very out of the camp to be involved in Havlei Hazman. No. It's very easy to be involved in Havlei Hazman because there are a lot of people who are willing to help us get involved in all kinds of narishkeit, right? V'shogim kol shenosom behevel v'larik, asher lo yo'il v'lo yatzil. And they shogim. You know, shogim is the word that the Rambam says, where you have a kind of emotional involvement with something that you can't escape. Like he says, uses the same word to describe ava, avas Hashem, that you're sort of like, it's like love. It's like romantic love. You can't get it out of your mind. You can't change the topic in your head. It's always at the same place. He says, "Shogim kol shenosom behevel v'larik, asher lo yo'il v'lo yatzil." There he calls it not havlei hazman, foolish things of the time, but he calls it hevel v'larik. It sounds worse to me. It sounds worse, but okay, even if it's not worse. It's certainly not better, right? Hevel v'larik is not better than havlei hazman. Asher lo yo'il v'lo yatzil. They have no purpose. There's no salvation, right? The Rambam, believed in Hillel's Tshuva. He also states quite clearly. He talks about sachar v'onesh, and that we're all in this for a big prize, and the name of that big prize is Olam Haba. But all of this involvement in Havli Olam Hazeh doesn't get you anywhere, doesn't do anything. Habitu l'nafshos sechem, then he says, look into your hearts, heitivu darchechem, do better, umalelechem, the things that you do. V'yazov kol echod miyem darko haro machshavto, asher lo tova. And everybody should leave this bad way. What is the bad way? The bad way is the involvement in foolishness. Because the involvement in foolishness, while it may in itself not be an avera, right? In other words, if you sit and watch television 47 hours a week, so it's not clear exactly what the avera is, but it's obvious that you could use the time a little more positively, right? If you tore yourself away from the television. So we're talking about things that create, that make your life. You don't even notice that you're living in a world that has very little meaning or significance. And therefore the shofar comes, according to the Rambam, to wake you up. What's the tardema? The shofar doesn't come to say, stop killing people. Stop stealing. Stop having illicit sexual relations. That's what the shofar is telling you. Because that you know. You know all of that. The shofar is there to wake you up to the fact that you're wasting your time, that you're not serious, that you're not productive, that you're not doing anything worthwhile, that you're steeped in what the Rambam calls, Havlei Hazman, Hevel Varik. What does it mean to be sleeping? You're simply not aware. You're not aware of what you're missing out on. You're not aware of what it is that you're not accomplishing. That's what you're not aware of. So along comes the shofar, which the Rambam says is a kind of a wake-up call, a blast, an annoyance, and it's supposed to wake you up to the reality of your life, of what you're doing, of your existence. That's the Rambam's position. Now, it's interesting that that the Rambam felt a need to say something about Tkiyas Shofar. It's almost as though the Rambam said, How could something be so central to our mitzvah existence? A mitzvah d'oraisa. A mitzvah d'oraisa, a real mitzvah d'oraisa, even though it's true, we don't know what a trua is. But we do know, or we do say, that if you blow the shofar in all the ways that that we do blow the shofar, that you certainly became the mitzvah d'oraisa. One way or the other, you became the mitzvah d'oraisa, right? Either we don't know what a trua is, whether a trua is a trua or a shvarim trua, we don't know. But if I do all of that, the way we do it in shul, right, the way we blow shofar, so I'm yotze the mitzvah d'oraisa. The Rambam is somehow distressed by the thought that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa that we have to do on Rosh Hashanah. We do it on Rosh Hashanah. We don't know why we're doing it. We don't know what it means. So the Rambam says, I can at least tell you the secondary reason for doing the Tkiyas Shofar. Even though I don't know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do Tkiyas Shofar, but I can tell you the second reason. I know the first reason, but the second reason I can tell you, the second reason is that all of us, every single person in the world, has to be redirected, has to be moved out of the hevel, the world of foolishness, havlei hazman, and hevel varik, and moved in the direction of a more serious attitude. Apparently, according to the Rambam felt that there's every reason to think that everybody is in this category, that everybody needs help on this level. But for some reason, the Rambam thought that he could not avoid saying something about the shofar. And in fact, what the Rambam says is that the shofar is a kli, it's a vessel, it's an instrument of tshuva. But not tshuva about an aveira, apparently. It's not the tshuva of Perek Aleph. In Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam says, if you did an aveira, whether you did a positive command or a negative command or this onesh or that onesh, and you want to do tshuva, blah, 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 so you do vidui. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the fact that even people who keep the Torah, even people who keep the Torah or do all the mitzvahs, who avoid all the points of transgression, even they have to be made aware of the fact that tshuva is a much more encompassing notion and does not just include specific activity that you did which was unacceptable, but includes your ambience. Like where's the music that's playing in the background? Is it the music of Havlei Olam Hazeh? Is the music of Hevel Varik? If so, get out of that concert. Go to another place. Go someplace else where it's more serious, where it's more real, where it's more focused, where it's more directed. That's what the Rambam says. And the Rambam says that's the connection of shofar to tshuva. Because there's a kind of tshuva that you have to be reminded about, that you have to be woken up about, because the way you live your life is kind of intoxicating. You sort of just, once you get into it, right, once you sort of like, are living the way you're living, so then it's hard to change. I mean, you need somebody to shake you into awareness. So this is the Rambam. The Rambam says that's what the shofar is. The shofar, I don't know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to blow a shofar, but I know that the result of blowing the shofar could be positive. It could wake me up. It could change my awareness of my own situation. Not everything is hopeless. There are decisions that you can make about what you read, about what you look at, and about what you think about. Well, you can, a little bit. A little bit, maybe not, 100% perhaps, and certainly not overnight, but you can resolve that not to let the standards of your existence be determined entirely by people who don't know at all what you're doing. There's no reason to accept that. And the shofar announces that you have that wherewithal, that you could do that. But if I wanted to, I mean, that's the Rambam. I think the Rambam is very nice. It makes a lot of sense. It's very understandable. But if I wanted to talk about the Rambam like a yeshiva, you would talk about the Rambam. So you would say, where did you get it from? Like, where does this come from? Who told him? I mean, who? It's just Tommy made it up. I mean, made up. So I want to remind you of a pasuk in Tehillim that we say before Tkiyas Shofar. One of the psukim that we say before Tkiyas Shofar is Ashrei Ha'ob Yodei Serua. Ashrei Yodei Serua Hashem Ba'or Ponecha Yalech. Ashrei. Like blessed almost. Ha'am Yodei Serua. Those who know how to blow shofar, the nation who knows Lada'at, right? It doesn't mean, I guess, the technique of blowing shofar, which is not such a big deal. I mean, you could learn how to blow a shofar. But I guess there's something, some hidden knowledge in the mitzvah of blowing shofar, right? Some knowledge in the mitzvah of blowing shofar, which produces the result, which is the second half of the pasuk, Hashem be'or ponecho yahalecho. Hashem be'or ponecho yahalecho. What does that mean? Hashem. Or ponecho. What is or ponecho? At the end of Shemon Esrei, every time we say Shemon Esrei, we say, ki be'or ponecho nosata lonu Hashem elokeinu toras chayim v'avas chesed. So, what is Or Panecho Yahalechu? Torah. Torah, and even though Torah is difficult, and it's very hard to live up to the standards of the Torah, when we daven, we say, the Or Panecho Nasatolon, that there was apparently a kindness in the way the Torah was given. Even though an outsider might see the Torah as being very harsh because it contains endless sets of rules and things that you have to achieve quite in the right way. And that, of course, is very difficult. I mean, it's a lot easier if the Torah would just say to everybody, be good, that's it, dismissed. But the Torah doesn't say that. The Torah says that everything is a problem. You want to give tzedakah? There are rules. You want to daven? There are rules. Right? You want to celebrate Yontif, have a nice time, historical moment? No. A lot of rules. And you have to do it right. And if you don't do it right, you can't be happy, and you didn't do it. So that even though there's a harshness to the Torah, right? There's a harshness to the Torah, we always say, Ki ba'or ponecho nosato lonu Hashem Elokeinu. Be'or ponecho. That even though the Torah itself strikes us as being difficult, as being a little bit harsh, but receiving the Torah at Har Sinai was a wondrously pleasant experience. It was be'or ponecho. There was kindness in the nesino, in the giving of the Torah. So the pasuk, get back to the pasuk again. Ashrei ha'ov yodei surua. Ashrei. Right, they are. This is a wonderful situation that the Am is in, who are Yod a Serua. And that, as I said, doesn't mean they know how to blow shofar, but they know something about Trua. Hashem, Ba'or Ponecho Yahalecho. Hashem, Ba'or Ponecho Yahalecho. What's Ba'or Ponecho? It's the Matan Torah. It's the giving of the Torah, Ba'or Ponecho. That means the ongoing Ba'or Ponecho Yahalecho, which started out at Har Sinai, which is represented in the words of Sim Sholom at the end of Shemona Esrei, right? That is dependent forever after on Ashrei Ha'om Yedei Seruah. It was something like the pasuk is like summing up a world of a Jewish intellectual thought. He says, we receive the Torah Ba'or Panecha. That's why we could smile when we receive the Torah. But we continue to receive the Torah Ba'or Panecha because we are Ashrei Ha'am Yoidei Surua. So of course there's a mystery in the Pasuk. And the mystery in the Pasuk is, what does one thing have to do with the other? What does the fact that we are Yoidei Surua have to do with Shem Ba'or Panecha Yahaleh? Right, so now we have two questions. First question is, where does the Rambam get this idea from? That the shofar is a remez, it's a wake-up call, that's how you do a tshuva. I mean, what is it that the Rambam, how does the Rambam get to where he's going? The second question is, this pasuk that we say before Tkiyah Shofar, which is a very famous pasuk, says something that we don't quite understand. Ashrei Am Yodei Surua, because Am Yisrael knows how to blow the shofar, then Hashem Ba'or Panecha Yahaleich. Somehow the Or Panecha quality of Matan Torah, which is represented in Sim Sholeim, is continued because we are Yodei Surua. There are two mitzvahs, of course, that are important always, but especially at this time of year, which have a certain similarity to them. The first is the mitzvah of tefillah. The Rambam says, tefillah, ezo hi, avoda shebalev, zo tefillah. The Rambam says that tefillah, davening, is what is referred to in various psukim and Tanakh as avoda shebalev. Avoda shebalev. Literally, it's the service that you do with your heart. So you would think that how would you daven? How does one daven? I mean, you stand there. I mean, let's say you stand there. I mean, that's not important. And you say, heart, do it. Right? Heart, daven. Daven. Now, the way we daven is the furthest thing imaginable from what I have just described. Because what we do is we say, mouth, talk. Cup, think. Finger, turn the page. Right? You never get to the heart. Right? It's not like that at all. And the Rambam says, the Rambam goes on and says, the Rambam talks about the fact that you have to daven with words. And he tries to explain, I don't want to get into it now, but he tries to explain the beginning of tefillah. It's a good thing to look up if you don't remember. That the reason Shemona Esrei was composed by the Anshei Knesset Agdola was because the people coming back from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael had a deficiency. They weren't able to daven. They weren't able to, why weren't they able to? Now here it gets a little difficult to understand. The Rambam says that they couldn't speak one language correctly. They kept mixing up words from the language they learned in Chutz La'aretz or the language from Hebrew. It's some kind of a deficiency. Along came the Anshei Knesset Agdola, they wrote Shemona Esrei, and then everybody could daven properly by saying the words of Shemona Esrei. So that means that even though the Rambam says that tefillah is avodah shebalev, right, even though tefillah is avodah shebalev, but to do the mitzvah of tefillah, you have to say words. And in fact, not only do you have to say words, but there was a crisis. There was a word crisis in history. And people didn't know the words that they were supposed to say. And Anshei Knesset Agdola had to save them by writing words. They wrote up words. The words are called Shemona Esrei. And those are the words that we say. This is what the Rambam says. So the Rambam says something that it's hard to follow how he's thinking exactly. First he says, Avodah Shebalev. I mean, really davening is what you do. It's really kavana. It's really intention. It's really the way you look at things. It's, you do it with your heart. What does it make? What words you say? Or if you say words at all. I mean, what's the nafkimina? And then the Rambam immediately says, look, words, that's a problem. You have to say the right words. And so the Anshei Knesset Agdola wrote the words. They wrote the words. The Rambam in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Tshuva I'll just remind you of the Gemara in Kedushin, right? The Gemara in Kedushin, which I mentioned last week or this week, makes the following interesting proposal. If a person says to a woman, a man says to a woman, wants to marry her, I read Mekadesh Shalibit Tabazu, Al Minas Sha'ani Tzadik Gomor, right? Sounds a bit haughty, but that's what he said. So there's a question. Is she mikudeshes, or is she not mikudeshes? We know that if you're mekadesh a woman with a tanai, or al tanai with a condition, and you fulfill the condition, then she's mikudeshes. You say, I had mikudeshes li, al menas, and I'll give a lot of money to tzedakah today, right now, and you do it, then she's mikudeshes. Right? That was the tanai has to be fulfilled. So if a person says, I had mikudeshes, I meet menasha ni, shadi gomer, I am marrying you on the condition that I am perfectly righteous. So the Gemara says, Mekudeshes. I raise a Mekudeshes. Why? Shemahir here, tshuva belibo. Because maybe at that very moment that he's trying to be Mekadesh, this woman, he did tshuva. He did like perfect tshuva, absolute tshuva, 100% tshuva, 200% tshuva, I don't know. Shemahir tshuva belibo. So the Gemara is trying to say, I think what the Gemara is telling us is that tshuva is like avodah shebalev. The power of tshuva comes from what you really intend, what you really mean, right? What's deep down inside of you? That's where the power of tshuva is. But the Rambam, in his introduction to Hilchos Tshuva, the first halacha in Hilchos Tshuva says that if you do an aveira, and then he says, "Kishayase tshuva v'yoshu b'cheto," right? There's the guy standing under the chuppah with this woman, and he's ose tshuva at that moment, v'yoshu b'cheto, chayov lisvadois lifnei hakel baruchu shenemar, etc. What does lisvados mean? What is a vidui? What is a confession? A confession means that he has to say words. And the Rambam, in fact, in order to make sure that you don't make any mistake about this, the Rambam says, Ketzad mizvade. So how do you do vidui? Omer, he says, Ono Hashem, Chotosi, Ovisi, Poshati, Lefonecho, Vasisi, Kach, Kach, Vareini, Chamti, Vavoshti, Bemasoi. He says, that's what vidui is. Vidui is words. What's tshuva? Tshuva is tshuva without words. I mean, it's the thing, but it's not talking about the thing. What does vidui mean? Vidui means I'm talking about what I really feel. Ono Hashem chatosi or visi poshati lefonecha. I've done this aveira or sisi kach v'kach. I feel terrible. I'm embarrassed. There's all things you say. You say these words. There's in the Gemara, it says that the guy says, standing under the chuppah, and he's doing tshuva in order to marry this girl. So he doesn't say all of this. Did he say vidui? Did he say words? Obviously not, because then there wouldn't be a question in the Gemara about whether she's mekudeshes. He didn't say anything. So the Gemara says, look, Shabbat, here I tshuva believe her, baby. Maybe he really did it. It's a problem. When it comes to Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam says, say words. That's what the Torah wants. The Torah wants you to say the words of the Tshuva. In Tefillah, the Rambam says, Tefillah is Avodah Shebalev. But in fact, the way you do Tefillah is by saying words. by saying the words that represent the Avodah Shebalev. So it seems to me that these two halachas, the halacha of tshuva and the halacha of tefillah, as a paradigm, represent for us a kind of difficulty that we always have. And that difficulty is in being very honest. Honesty is a difficulty, is a problem for the human person. In other words, what is tshuva about? Tshuva is about recognizing who you are. Like the Shari Tshuva says, the most difficult element of tshuva is charata, is remorse, is feeling badly about what you did. And you say to yourself, what's so hard about that? What's so hard about feeling badly about what I did? I went and I kicked a little kid, you know, out of the way. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. The Shari Tshuva says, you have to understand, remorse, I think Reb Nachman also said that, but it says remorse is something that you usually cannot do in an appropriate manner. Because a person tends always to defend himself. Okay, but I did it, but he shouldn't have been there. Right? You know, I really whacked him with a stick. I broke his head open, but he shouldn't have been standing there. Or he shouldn't have been sitting there blowing bubbles with the bubble gum. Because he should have known that I get annoyed about that. It was people. People are able. Is he doing tshuva? Does he have charote? Yeah, but he has charote. He has charote, but his tendency is to mitigate his charote. And when he says, I shouldn't have done it, he means, yes, in a perfect world, and everybody's happy and smiling, I certainly wouldn't have done it. But after all, sometimes you have to do things like that. Okay, I know it's the wrong thing to do. It's like, that's what you say. It's the wrong thing to do, but it was right for me to do it. So now, you say, oh, Rabbi, I have to do tshuva? Okay. Okay, how does it cost? You know, so rabbis have a cash register. Like an important rabbinic kind of tool. So how does it cost? In other words, the difficulty of tshuva begins. The difficulty of tshuva begins when you say, "Okay, I'll do tshuva." That's where the difficulty begins, because the attempt to be perfectly honest, to recognize yourself for who I really am, to be able to make, say, moral decisions which reflect on the way I act. Don't worry. That is tremendously difficult. So that even though the Gemara says, Shema hir her tshuva b'libo, that there's such a possibility, it's not likely. It's not likely that a person will go through what the Rambam calls at the beginning of the Perek Beis, it goes tshuva gemurah. Because tshuva gemurah demands a level of honesty that is very difficult for us to conjure up. We live with ourselves in the world of a little bit of lie. Like, it's never perfectly frank. Is that perfectly obvious? We don't live that way. We always cover up a little bit. So that this mitzvah of tshuva, which is prefaced on the assumption that a person can be honest about himself, and remember, we're usually not talking about averus, about, you know, people murdering somebody else, rahmana litzlan, or stealing, you know, from the gas station, in the light of day with a pistoletta. We're not talking about that kind of aveirus. Like, what kind of aveirus do people usually get involved with? You know, the v'yoreso me'elokecho kind of aveirus. You know, the Torah says, Torah says that there are by your v'yoreso me'elokecho averis v'pnei seivo toku. You're supposed to sit, stand up when an older person comes in, and you're sitting in a seat in the bus, right? So who knows? Who knows? You don't get up, and you're like looking at your little hand, your little kahati mishnayos for all you're worth, right? You're like burning your way through the pages. So what are you doing? Did you really not see that person get on? Or perhaps did you see that person, but you don't want anybody to know that you saw that person. You're looking at the Mishnayos like crazy. Well, what are you doing? So the Torah says, V'yoreso me'elokecho. It says, there are times that the Aveira is only known to me. I'm the only person who could ever know that I did the Aveira. If somebody comes up and he says, hey, you know, why don't you get up and let the old lady sit down? Oh, of course, you know, I just didn't see. I didn't notice. No one knows. It's a no one knows kind of Aveira. But when it's all done, you say to yourself, look, but I was learning, I was in the middle of the Mishnah, it's more important. And if I stand up, I wouldn't be able to do that. And she didn't look so, like she was in such bad shape, you know, she was like a 90-year-old, but very well preserved and strong and whatever. Well, why should I get up? You know, it's like you have a whole cheshbon. The whole judgment, this is very difficult. It's very difficult. So the Torah says that the human being needs vidui. You need it. You have to say it. You have to get it out. You say, okay. Because when you say the vidui, there's no compromise. Chatasi, avisi. You can't, that's the nusach. The nusach of vidui, you can't say chatasi, but not really so bad, you know. Yeah, chatasi, das idos. Or the other vidui that we say, avol anachnu chatonu. That's what vidui is. Vidui sort of gets it out. It doesn't take care of all my personality problems and the difficulties that I have, but it creates a direction for me. The same thing is true for tefillah. The same thing is true for tefillah. Because tefillah, you know, tefillah, the essence of tefillah is bakosha. And the bakosha of tefillah usually is, you know, the Yerushalmi says, Bonei Chayei Mizoyne. He asks for sons, children, for life, and for sustenance. So I said, what do you mean you ask? I mean, like, what do you come? You come to Kodesh Baruch and say, look, I'm hungry, send down some food. Or I don't have a family, so get me a family. Or, you know, I'd like to live another 120 years. Could you, like, arrange that? So, like, what does davening mean? What is davening about? Davening is not just, I want. Yes, I mean, it is, I want. But it's also a little bit I deserve. Right? I'm all right. I'm not perfect, but look, I'm davening, right? Look at all those other people who are not davening b'chalal. They always go to shul. They don't know what's going on. I get up early in the morning, I say, slichas. So let me make a little money this year. In other words, davening itself is problematic on the human level. It's very difficult for me to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu as I really am. And therefore, Chazal said, they said, here is davening. Davening. At least you'll be honest if you say the words. But you're supposed to say there's an honesty to that, there's an integrity to that. Maybe that'll wake you up to who you really are. But you know, this I'll try to finish. Once a year, there's one mitzvah where the Torah tells us that we can really be ourselves. It's the davening without words. It's the statement that says, is the statement that it's wordless. And so if it's wordless, and if it associates itself with me, it has to come from a very deep and profound place. Because it's when I can't daven that I say words. It's when I can't do tshuva that I say vidui, in the hope that it'll help. And once a year the Torah says, here is the wordless davening, the sound of the shofar, which attacks the very essence of your being. And the Rambam says, the shofar does not talk about averis, so to speak. You did this, or you did that. But it talks about where you are. In what world are you living? Which havle olam hazeh have done you in? So at a moment of tremendous honesty, when you're not confused by who you are and the shofar is trying to wake you up to your real situation and say that there's a tshuva that you have to do that's not connected to words. It's not about a chet, it's not about an ovon, it's not about a pesha, but it's about who you are and where you are. That tshuva's preface, the Torah says, on the tkiyas shofar. The tkiyas shofar is what enables you to look into yourself. And not to look for aveiros, but to look for what the Rambam calls havle ha'olam hazeh, right, the foolishness, the meaningless things, which ultimately, of course, enable you to do more real tshuva. If a person can recognize himself, what he is, and where he stands, and what he's involved with, and what his goals are, what his dreams are, and what his interests are, if you can recognize yourself in all of that, then you could certainly do tshuva. So the Rambam says we need help. We need help to do tshuva because the Rambam understands that self-assessment is a difficult thing. And that's why the Torah says, say the words of vidui. And that's also why the Torah says, daven with words. Because it's very hard for us to be perfectly frank and honest about ourselves. But tshuva also includes, according to the Rambam, the blowing of the shofar, which is an attempt that the Torah made to enable us to come to grips with ourselves. It's not just the words of vidui, the averis, the transgression, the act, the things that sort of become compartmentalized in our thinking about ourselves, but it's where we are and what we are and what we are doing and how to deal with that as well. So that the process of tshuva contains these several aspects, according to the Rambam. I do tshuva about the things that I did. I try to think back and say, what did I do? How many there are? I list them. And I do tshuva, I say, chotosi, avisi, poshatu lifanecho, ositi kach v'kach. But there's another kind of tshuva, a tshuva that I do in order to uncover myself, in order to be honest with who I am and what I am and what I am doing. And that enables me to do greater tshuva about all the other things that I have to tshuva about. And that second kind of tshuva, the more difficult kind of tshuva, is introduced according to the Rambam in our year by Tkiyas Shofar. The Rambam says, even though I don't know exactly why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to blow shofar Rosh Hashanah, I do know what the positive effect of Tkiyas Shofar can be on the human personality, and that halacha of what Tkiyas Shofar does, that halacha is correctly put by the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. Shlichus is at 6:30. You do this?
I have no idea.
Why would it say bat? I guess that's not good, right?
Davening.